Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, years ago, the CIA connected satire publication Charlie Hebdo, based in Paris, France, put out the now infamous Muhammad Jihad cartoons. And quite frankly, it paled in significance to some of the stuff in Team America. Well, now we've seen the backlash from China on the remake of Red Dawn, that film being shelved for a year while China was edited out. We've seen the threat of jihadi al-Qaeda elements threatening to attack the satirical newspaper over the last few years. Well, they reportedly did it today. Gun attack on French magazine kills 12. The White House has come out and said that, wait a minute, let's not call this terrorism. Just like they did for a few years with the Fort Hood shooting. With Major Hassan. I was thinking this morning about making a sick joke about the White House, but it really wasn't a joke about how soon till they blame the Tea Party for the attack on the newspaper in Paris. And then I was going through the news at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and DrudgeReport.com and other places, and there it was, the headline. The White House came out and said they're not sure this is terrorism. And, of course, Obama came out and said, basically, those that slander the Prophet Muhammad better watch it. Here's my issue with this. It is a classical part of the Renaissance and Western culture to satirize or lampoon kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers. This is all part of the stage class of civilizations that the Project for New American Century talks about. Bring in folks from radical countries, allow them to organize, have the media demonize anybody that mildly criticizes them, then allow these groups to attack and use those attacks as a way to take free speech away as the answer to stopping the problems. Remember Obama when they arrested the maker of the satire film about Muhammad? Now, I don't sit here and engage in what I'd call Islamophobia. I don't sit up here and demonize Muslims in general. I understand the clash of civilizations. We need to stop that. We need to realize the manipulation, the attempt to cause a global civil war. But at the same time, we better recognize that radical Islam is taking over the Middle East and Islam. So whether it was always radical or it's just radical now isn't even up for debate, because it is becoming radicalized and is not tolerating free speech, and is allied with the left that demonizes, persecutes, and bans from entering Europe or the UK anyone that even mildly criticizes radical Islam like Michael Savage. In fact, we ought to try to get Michael Savage to pop in. I know he's got his own broadcast to give us his take on this today or tomorrow. Even if it's 10 minutes, Nico, call his producer. Or I've got his cell phone. It's in the computer. Call him. See if he wants to pop in for 10 minutes. That'd be a favor. Tell him I'm asking him as a favor to give us his take on it, because he's someone directly affected by this. And when they're done taking Michael Savage's free speech away, they're going to take yours and mine away. I will face it. You will face it. So here's the deal. We call U.S. senators, when they talk about restricting free speech, fascist monsters. Dianne Feinstein was called a fascist by Matt Drudge, and rightfully so. Then we have to call radical Islamicist, and I'm not somebody that's into stunts, burning the Quran and stuff like that, but at the same time, I really think everybody should retweet these images and talk about them in the face of this, or we're going to lose all our free speech. And so maybe for the nightly news tonight, I should go through the cartoons on the big screen and just review them for everybody, and then review other satirical stuff about Bill Clinton or the Queen of England. Just to discuss the fact that this is free speech.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
Dramatic footage from Paris about 8 hours ago in broad daylight. The brazen attack on the satirical comedy magazine, similar to Mad Magazine, Hebdo. A few years ago, you remember the magazine began publishing images, cartoon images of the Prophet Muhammad with his turban as a bomb and things like that. And the jihadis used it as a recruiting tool and promised that they would kill the editor and also that they would kill the cartoonist. I find it very, very suspicious. There's now 12 dead, including two police officers. We have dramatic footage of one of the officers after he's been wounded begging for his life and being killed, being shot execution style in cold blood. I find it very suspicious that they're using Western military hand signals. If you watch the footage, they are very calm going about their business killing people. And they knew when to be at the newspaper, when most people at newspapers nowadays work from home, when the editor and the cartoonist were both there. Running around screaming Allah Akbar. I don't know if that audio will translate over AM radio, but it will for our FM listeners and internet listeners. Now, warning, in a moment, if you're a TV viewer, or mainly a radio broadcast, but millions do tune in every week via the InfoWars video feed at InfoWars.com/show or via InfoWarsNews.com. We're going to show the unedited, unblurred footage. I'll probably blur this later for YouTube, of one of the killers executing a police officer that he's already wounded who is on the ground. Now, we show images like this because the media will not show these images, but they'll let you see violent video games that simulate the same thing more graphically. We'll all watch violent movies, and that's, you know, supposedly okay. But then the real thing, oh, we're not supposed to see that. So we're going to roll that footage right now. Don't shoot. Boom, in the head. Don't shoot, don't shoot. I guess it's universal English from watching all the Hollywood movies, people getting shot. That is why English is the world language, is that everybody uses it. So that cop knew what he was doing. He thinks he's talking to foreigners. He says, don't shoot. That's the world language. That's why they don't want Hispanic immigrants learning English to neutralize you and keep you under Democratic Party barrio control. Just a little side issue. Let's play this dramatic, shocking footage for TV viewers one more time. The unedited YouTube is posted on InfoWars.com. The minute I got up at 6 a.m. this morning and saw this footage, I could tell that it looked like Western military trained people. Or Russian. They're also not as skinny as jihadis usually are. I'm not saying they're not jihadis, because they had a lot of them that were trained in the Russian military and ended up defecting through Chechnya and other areas into the jihad. But they're very calm, and they give military signals to tell the other vehicles to move out. They don't hide the license plate of their vehicle, probably stolen. I don't know what's behind this at this time. I'm going to reserve judgment. I'm going to analyze it. We have a former NSA security head, Wayne Madsen, one of the biggest NSA whistleblowers in history. He just doesn't get any attention because he is so big. He's testified to Congress, testified to the EU and to the British Parliament. He will be joining us at the bottom of the hour in approximately 16 minutes. To give us his fresh take on this. I don't know Wayne Madsen's take on this, his first approximation. I don't know Dr. Steve Pachinik, who ran major anti-terror operations against jihadi groups all over the world and who's exposed a lot of false flags and co-authored books with Tom Clancy. He's going to be joining us for about 15 minutes at the end of the broadcast today to give us his take. I don't know what his take is. I'm not one of these people that just instantly comes out with my view on something until I've had a chance to analyze it. On the day of 9/11, it was on CBS Radio, back when it was still called CBS News Radio. At 4:25, I heard them say they're going to blow up the Solomon Brothers Building 7 to protect the other buildings. Then I got home and had videotape of the news saying it, and I played the clips, and people said they must be fake. Even though others called in saying, yeah, we heard them say they blew it up. It was on NPR, too. We now have BBC, CBS News, CBS Radio, ABC, CNN, NPR saying, we're going to blow up Building 7. I don't know exactly what happened on 9/11, but they announced they were going to blow it up, and then it blew up and fell. They protected the hijackers into the U.S. I've interviewed the head of the U.S. Embassy Visa Department, Springman, who was ordered to let them in. It was told they're CIA. I'm not going to go on for 10 hours here. The deputy director of the FBI, John O'Neill, quit 1 week before, saying, quote, they're going to allow Al-Qaeda to attack us. He died on 9/11, strangely enough, in the World Trade Center. You can't make this stuff up. I'm not going to go back into 9/11 today. But there are three different types, really four different types. Well, there's one type of terror that is a subgroup. But there are three different types of terror. Pure, original, real, asymmetrical warfare launched by groups that don't have as high-tech a weapons. It's guerrilla warfare, and when it's projected at any globalist power, it's called terrorism. I think it's terrorism when it's aimed at men, women, and children who aren't in a military unit. And a lot of the jihadis do that, and it is terrorism. Now, that happens. That goes on. Then you've got provocateur terror, where they go out and they just stir up groups and fund groups, sometimes through different levels, where the group doesn't even know who's funding them, criminal groups, you name it, to carry out a terror attack. And the subgroup of that is sometimes it's not misguided trailer trash clan heads or jihadis from, you know, dirt floor villages who don't know what planet they're on. Sometimes it's criminal networks that are funded to carry out the attacks and then plant evidence of the group they want to frame. So there's real terror, normally low level, not sophisticated. There's staged terror that has a lot of different variants. I'm just saying two right now. Then there is aiding and abetting, where you kind of open the door and protect terror groups that are operating. And then, of course, there is the purely staged type of terror. But most terror is synthetic. That is, it's artificial. It's been produced, it's been shepherded, it's been protected, it's been open-doored, it's been coddled. They've got some hoax terror as well, where it's not even really a terror attack, so it's kind of a fifth group. Like the Mutalib attack on Christmas Eve, we had two witnesses on board. Later, Congress had testimony admitting that an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency had helped get him on the plane without a visa or proper passport. He clearly was drugged. He gets up near the end of the flight. A man gets up two aisles behind him, starts videotaping before he even gets up. He starts basically stumbling around, and then a firecracker goes off in his pants. 2 weeks before all the naked body scanners, purchased a year before, were set to roll out, then they announced on the news they're putting naked body scanners in, and the former head of Homeland Security himself made more than $10 million. Billions were made. Chertoff became the head of the company. They announced we're putting them in because of the underwear bombing. You understand that? It's like saying the Austin Police Department buys a bomb truck a year before, but it doesn't get delivered till the day a bombing happens, and they say, oh, we just got it today to deal with the bombing, or oh, we're getting one tomorrow because we didn't have a bomb truck, but you learn they ordered the bomb truck a year before. It's very suspicious, and this stuff just keeps adding up. But there's another bigger facet to this. PNAC, the Project for New American Century, with Jeb Bush, Dick Cheney, and others involved, Warren Rudman, Gary Hart, they were all involved. They wrote in September of 2000, issued the report a year before 9/11, that they would use a catalyzing Pearl Harbor event for a clash of civilizations between the West and Islam, and that out of that global crisis, they would bring in the corporate world government. So they're going to play what's left of the West and our Western freedoms off against radical Islam. They're helping protect globally NATO, Interpol, the UN, Republican Party, Democratic Party. They'll have rhetoric against it while protecting it, and they'll use that global threat as a way to take our liberties. Remember the movie about Muhammad that was just a trailer that they blamed Benghazi on? Turned out that was a fraud. They arrested the filmmaker of that, and he was in jail for a year and a half for a movie that just showed Muhammad beating people and stuff. So you think about that long and hard, ladies and gentlemen, that they want to set the precedent to take our free speech and to censor the internet and things in the name of countering this. Now, I'm not somebody here that wants a clash of civilizations. I don't want to fight between the West and Islam. But the globalists have opened the borders, brought in the most radical, funded the groups, and then Islam's always demanding we lose our free speech, the Islamists are, for them, so we don't get any speech, we have to adopt whatever they want, and the whole leftist system backs them up. This is that wedding between the socialist and radical Islamicist to give it a foothold to cause the clash. Through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. We're here live. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Thank you for joining us. NSA whistleblower, really geopolitical expert, Wayne Madsen is going to be giving us his first look take on the attacks that took place, I guess, 8-9 hours ago now over in Paris in broad daylight on the newspaper, the satirical newspaper, Charlie Hebdo, that had, I mean, they make fun of the French president, they make fun of the U.S. president, they make fun of Hollywood stars. It's a satire newspaper. And they were death threatened, you name it, they were firebombed, and the cartoonist said, I would rather die standing than live kneeling, which is a paraphrase of a famous refrain, it's better to live on your feet and to die than to basically grovel on your knees in the ditch. Plus, people that grovel on their knees end up getting killed anyways. So this thing really stinks to high heaven. There are al-Qaeda groups out of Yemen that are taking responsibility, basically. There are other government groups saying that. Here's the big backdrop problem. You've all heard the clips of Ted Cruz. We'll play them again later. Saying we shouldn't be al-Qaeda's air force in Syria. You've heard Rand Paul come out and our own military come out and say, yes, basically 90% of the jihadis in Syria and Iraq are al-Qaeda affiliated. They've changed their name to ISIS. The West has been funding them, Turkey, France especially, the United States, Germany, England, have been openly saying that they are funding these groups. And we have been here warning you that bad things would end up happening. And now, indeed, you call it blowback, whatever you want. I don't know if this is a staged event. I don't know if it's a provocateur event. If you watch the close-up video off the roof as they're preparing to leave, or exfiltrate, I guess, if you look at basic NATO hand signs that are also used by police department SWAT teams. If you're a TV viewer, we have a graphic of this. You can see that when they're leaving, they do the hand sign for come as the leader's walking towards the car that's waiting. And then he does the symbol of his hand up with his finger in a circle, meaning rally point, come to the car. And if you watch the video closely, they're giving other signals before that. Duh. does Al-Qaeda have Western hand-sign tactics? Not in videos I've seen. They have their own goofy tactics. The body language, just as a first look, looking at a lot of soldiers, watching a lot of video over the years, is they look like Russians. And by Russians, the bearing, the body language looks like Russian-style special forces or something. Now, there's a lot of Russian Muslims, a large portion, large groups that have ended up going to the Middle East, going to Syria, going to Iraq, out of Chechnya and other areas. So there's a good chance that's why I'm seeing this. They also had the classic Kalashnikovs, AK-47s. That means nothing. That's the most produced firearm in the world. Just a first look at this video, they look and act and behave like Russian-trained groups. I'm not saying Russia's involved in this. I'm telling you that when I looked at this video at 6 a.m. and 7 a.m. and then on the elliptical at 8 a.m., they looked and acted and behaved like Russians. I have no idea what we're going to hear from Wayne Madsen, who is also in the military but also in the NSA and has proven to be accurate over and over again at an uncanny level. He also has a lot of sources. If you expand on that, we're also going to have Steve Pachinik pop in for about 15 minutes. I don't know what his take is. Like I told my producer, don't ask them what their take is. I want to hear it raw, uncensored. One of the guys kind of does have mannerisms, and I've just noticed this by watching military groups in their outfits of a Yemenis or of someone, I mean, folks, you can tell somebody's been in the Army or the Marines once you show you this stuff enough, even when they're older. Just the mannerisms, all of it. And I've just watched this so long that I may end up being wrong, but my gut tells me, looking at all the pieces, I'm not ready to make a statement yet. I'm going to think about this some more, but I'm working on it right now. I'm working on it right now. I'll try to give you my take. Crashing
through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'm still collating, still sifting through data before I give you my first approximation on what has unfolded in Paris, but it has very convenient timing. Right after the German government threatened to ban anti-open borders, anti-radical Islam rallies, the left came out in massive solidarity, surrounding the peaceful demonstrators, even attacking some of them in areas of Germany. The lapdog media praised the leftist groups, demonizing Germans. Who, I mean, in all fairness, Germany's more like Turkey now than it is Germany. It's going to be like when we have 40 million immigrants a year coming in if the government has their way with visas. In a decade or less, the United States will look like India. And I don't mean it'll look like India because it'll look like Indians. I mean we'll look like Calcutta because of the population. You add to that the social welfare and the fact that government wants to give people a bunch of freebies to politically control them. We're going to be so bankrupt with a giant mass of dependent people. Talk about a nightmare. We're going to break all this down coming up. We're also going to read some of the statements of Charlie Hebdo's editor, Stéphane Charbonnet. Have I pronounced that right? Wow, I pronounced it right. I'm going to read some of his statements because you can say whatever you want about them. They had a lot of huevos when they've been firebombed, death-threatened, you name it. But how did the shooters know to come to a newspaper? I mean, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, everybody would be at the newspaper. But to catch the editor and to catch the cartoonist together when most cartoonists work from home and to get them all, did they have a mole inside to know about a company meeting? Was it the day before it published? Because, yeah, maybe everybody'd be on deck then. How did they know to catch them all and kill 10 inside and then two police officers outside. I don't know the answer to that, but we have Western governments that have been caught staging stuff before. But now they've created a giant recruiting ground for radical jihadists in Syria and Iraq. Is this blowback from that? But France is involved arming the jihadis, probably more than even Turkey or Israel. And it's a shame on the West that they're openly arming these folks that have killed over 300,000 people the last 4 years in Syria. Don't ever forget that. Blowing up churches and mosques and markets and hotels of a reforming country that wanted to work with the West. Just like Gaddafi came in from the dark, put his money in with the West, let U.S. companies come in. They turned it over to al-Qaeda. We're going to talk to Wayne Madsen, who's been to Turkey, been to Syria, former NSA officer, high-level whistleblower, one of the biggest ever next to William Binney, as big as Snowden, folks. We're going to be talking to him, getting his take on this in a moment. But I know this, regardless, now the press is rushing to the aid of this newspaper and saying, we support free speech and we shouldn't be intimidated. Where were you before when Michael Savage was banned from traveling to the UK and others? If they can criticize and then get banned, we can all get banned from travel or anything else if we criticize somebody. It's free speech. And I've got to tell you, in general, you see an alliance between the fake fascist left and radical Islamicists to end free speech in the West. And the neocons are more than happy to have a clash of civilizations out of which they'll get the police state. So it's a serious situation. We're going to talk to Wayne Madsen here in about 2 minutes. But here's a piece produced almost 3 years ago by my son, Rex Jones. He listens to the show. He's well-informed historically. He's 12 now. He was 9 and a half when we produced this. He wrote most of this. I'd say I'm 25% of it. A board game came in, put out by a board game novelty group that instead of Risk, it's Worldwide Terrorism. And in the board game, it shows how powerful corporate interests are busy financing terrorists to destabilize things. So Rex was playing with it one day when he was up here spending a day with me at work as part of his homeschooling at the time. And he said, I've got an idea to do a video on this. Well, so we got to cover your face, though. You know, your mom doesn't want your face on TV yet, neither do I. So he's wearing a Guy Fawkes mask and did it in a British accent. My son is not British. People tend to get confused by that. It's kind of like Guy Fawkes is British or V for Vendetta is British. So just answering some of those questions that come up when we air this maybe once a year or so. But here is Terrorism 101 for my son, Rex Jones.
Hello, your friendly neighborhood patriot here for an episode of How Terrorism Really Works. First off, our terrorist group needs a scary name. Can you say al-Qaeda? Let's try again. al-Qaeda. Ah, it does roll off the tongue. al-Qaeda. It's a perfect name. Now let's say the green piece here represents the terrorists. The terrorists then move into Pakistan or Afghanistan or whatever stan is not under banker control. The media then joins in to hype up the terror threat.
Dry hand operates with impunity from safe havens inside Pakistan. Blunt is looking for the river rage to Afghanistan and rough into trouble.
Once the terror threat is established, the banksters puppets send in the troops to take out the terrorists they put in there in the first place. Then the bankers install their own dictator to take control of the resources and oppress the people. As a bonus, the banks, via the black ops and intelligence agencies, will then ship the drugs back into the host country so they can imprison their own citizens for using the drugs, make huge profits selling the drugs, which finance other terror operations around the globe, and the cherry on the top is billions upon billions made on money laundering operations for the bankers.
in a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
And if the citizens of the host country gets wise to these schemes or gets uppity, the banks via media will hype in nuclear terror threats or an underwear bomber or a Christmas tree bomber. Any excuse to take the American people's rights. Well, that just about wraps it up for Terrorism 101, how terrorism really works. I'm your friendly neighborhood patriot. And now remember what Big Brother and other authoritarians say. Whatever you do, don't visit Infowars.com. Oh no, the control freaks don't like it. Ugh.
That's right, folks, Infowars.com, and you're the people out there that get the word out about PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com on your Facebook, your Twitter, your email. You're the reason we're reaching more and more people every day, so please continue to share your memberships of PrisonPlanet.tv, pass along links to the free iPhone and Android apps, links to the free podcast, the video feed, Infowars.com/show. That's how we reach more people is word of mouth. You can also get a membership if you want to see the nightly news and all the films for $5.95 a month, or get roughly half off when you sign up for the rest of the month for the entire year, $29.95 a year instead of $54.95 at PrisonPlanet.tv. All the films, ebooks, a bunch of other films, the nightly news, special reports, and it's a platform that they can't censor as easy. And you're supporting the very tip of the spear of free speech. And even if you disagree with speech, you should support the right of people to put out controversial speech so that you don't lose your right to free speech. I know that's common sense, but it's a serious vote for liberty and a vote for freedom when you become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. So I want to thank all of you that have done that. All right, for the balance of the hour, we go to Wayne Madsen, formerly with the NSA, before that with anti-submarine warfare at the Navy. He worked in a key internal unit of internal security inside the NSA. And again, he's testified to Congress, the EU, British Parliament, you name it. He's a best-selling author, TheWayneMadsenReport.com. I don't know Wayne's take on this yet. This just happened 10 hours ago or so in Paris at the satirical newspaper. And again, this sends a very scary message. Also, if you have any questions for Wayne Madsen, myself, or others, tweet your images, if you want to retweet some of these images that the radicals say we're not allowed to put out, and video clips to us at Real Alex Jones, or your comments or questions at Real Alex Jones with # Charlie Hebdo. Again, # Charlie Hebdo. Tweet Real Alex Jones with the # Charlie Hebdo, and we will get to some of those questions as well throughout the day. But going to Wayne Madsen. Wayne, you've been on hold for about 10 minutes hearing me play that clip and also give some of my views on this. It's a multifaceted issue, but obviously I want to get your take first on the clash of civilizations. Regardless, we just saw Al-Qaeda go from supposedly nothing after 12 years, and then the last two being resuscitated, rising again as ISIS. Now this is being linked to Al-Qaeda. What are your sources saying, if any? I know it's early on. What's your gut on this? Wayne Madsen.
Oh, yes, Alex. First, I want to say I enjoyed listening to the next John Oliver on HBO. I think your son has a great future ahead.
Well, thank you.
in television. But anyway... my initial take, and I heard you mentioning how come so many of the cartoonists and editors for Charlie Hebdo were present. And this happened to be Wednesday is their weekly editorial staff meeting at the newspaper headquarters, which is in on the right bank of the Seine in North Paris. I'm very familiar with the area because I worked for a newsletter nearby called Le Monde de Rassemblement years ago, which is not too far away, but Le Figaro is also in that area. And one thing I know from being in these newspaper offices is you just can't stroll in off the street. At the very least, they either have a buzzer system where someone has to let you in through the door, or there's a cipher lock system. And since there were threats against Charlie Hebdo, and also another satirical magazine that's not too far away either, the Canal Enchaîné, which is the chained duck in English. The police have been posting a presence at these various offices. So I'm not sure whether the two policemen who were killed were part of the regular detail or they just happened on the scene. But the mere fact that these assassins used two getaway cars and apparently have escaped after heading into the northern Parisian suburbs would indicate to me that this was more than just a run-of-the-mill amateur terrorist attack. This looks like it was well-planned with information about when this particular newspaper had its weekly editorial meeting. And we have to also remember that France recently antagonized certain parties by voting in favor of Palestine joining the United Nations. And that was the French vote in the UN Security Council.
Well, there's a documentary film that won an Academy Award. Guys, Google it. I think it's 7 days in September, or is it November? It's narrated by a famous Hollywood actor. But I remember going and seeing it shortly after 9/11. It's narrated by Michael Douglas, and they admit at the end that German intelligence had been working with the head of the terrorist group from the beginning. They had patsies under them, that they staged a hijacking so that they could then release the terrorist of the Munich Olympics. Mm-hmm. So here at the end of the film, they admit it was basically staged all along, but even the low-level jihadis taking the hostages and shooting people didn't know it was staged. So this is usually ends up being a staged event. You had the big German protest against the Islamification of Germany yesterday and calls to restrict their free speech. But you're right. I mean, the whole thing's suspicious. I know this. The body language of the shooters, I've seen so many Al-Qaeda and ISIS videos of them in their get-ups, doesn't fit the body language and the signaling that I've seen from hundreds of real jihadi videos. It looks very Western, and they're giving the classic rally signs. They're giving the classic, you know, come to me, and then the rally points. It looks like tactics I've only seen out of Russians or NATO.
Yeah, and the fact that they were hooded, we don't even know what, you know, who these people are. They're still at large. And it's very similar to the, if you recall, the attack on the shopping mall in Nairobi, Kenya. That was, again, as you say, done with military precision, sort of like a special operations attack, not certainly an amateur one. And right now, my gut feeling is that I'm not going to go with the people who are saying this is a typical Islamist terrorist attack. I think there's much more to this. I think after so many false flag operations, the onus is on the corporate media to prove otherwise, that it was, in fact, what they're saying it was. My default is not to believe it at first glance.
Well, sure, the default is you automatically can't believe what they're saying, and then you have to try to ferret out the truth for yourself. I just don't see who stands to gain from any angle when France is up to their eyeballs with Saudi Arabia publicly flogging invasions and bombardments of Syria. It just why then would the jihadis, I mean, I would expect a crude truck bomb or something from a real jihadi, or, you know, somebody shooting some people up front, not grabbing, you know, one of the workers, forcing them to give them the key code, which they're now saying, getting into the building. Here's another question. You can get guns in France, as, you know, of course, you've lived there under some limited permits. You've got to expect that this is a popular satirical publication, that they would have some armed guards there, or that they would have guns in there. I mean, did they just roll over and not fight back? I mean, if three guys showed up here with AK-47s, I mean, I guarantee you, And we got a whole bunch of vets working here. A bunch of people know how to use guns. I know how to use guns. I mean, they'd be in deep trouble. Or is this just how domesticated the French have gotten?
Well, I think in this particular case, this particular magazine probably didn't take all those precautions. It would be like, it's very similar to The Onion here in the United States, but with a little bit more of a political edge to it. Not as satirical, certainly, as The Onion, but you know, one could ask, what does The Onion have? What kind of security do they have at their editorial offices? I don't know. I've never been there, but I would not imagine it's very much.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not an Islamophobe that wants to have a clash of civilizations. I get that's part of the paradigm. But there is a large, real Islamic contingent that, you know, you're for women's rights. So am I, Wayne. They'd throw us in a dungeon over that, or they'd grab our daughters and, you know, sexually mutilate them. I mean, what do we do about real radical Islam being stirred up by globalists when we come back? I want to ask you that question.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
In the interest of free speech, I'm going to tweet out the image that's on drudgereport.com during the next break at Real Alex Jones, and I would encourage you to retweet it. It's taken from drudgereport.com, one of the former covers of the French-style Onion satire newspaper that's been around for decades. And there is the cover. It shows the Prophet Muhammad in French making a statement about killing people. And now it is being reported by the Daily Mail that Corrine Ray, the secretary, and her daughter saw two other cartoonists being killed. The cartoonist reveals terrorists threatened to murder her toddler unless she let them in. How she cowered with her child under a desk as the massacre took place. She says the men who spoke perfect French claimed to be Al-Qaeda terrorists. Attackers were reportedly heard shouting, "The Prophet has been avenged." Here's all I'm saying. I've watched a lot of these jihadis eat hearts, cut people's heads off, do all these horrible things, be funded by the West. And that's like no big deal when they're doing it. It's like, oh, it's just part of a war, John McCain says. When they're gutting Syria and killing every Christian they can get their hands on, and Saudi Arabia is behind it. But these guys don't look in their mannerisms or act like what I've seen before. So when we hear that they're, you know, Al-Qaeda out of Yemen or something, that's not a French-speaking area. That could just be a cover story. We don't have to believe what the gunmen are telling people with masks on their heads. I'm not saying it's a governmental operation. I'm trying to look at every angle of this. Wayne, I mean, I know you're permeating this or going over it in your mind, trying to cogitate on it. Going through permutations, I should say. Any other ideas? Who stands to gain from this? And then also, what do we do then about the clash of civilizations? Because we know it's staged, but at the same time, there is an attempt to support radical Islam and let it get a foothold.
Well, I think it's very interesting what you just reported about killers said that they were with Al-Qaeda. We have been told in Syria and Iraq that Al-Qaeda is more moderate now than the ISIL, Islamic State for Iraq and the Levant, or ISIS, or Daesh, as it's known in Arabic. We've been told that, though, we may have to ally with some Al-Qaeda groups against ISIL, which is more radical. And, you know, at the end of this month, the CIA and the military, our military, are going to start training so-called members of the Syrian rebel army in Turkey. Well, we know who they are. It's Jabhat al-Nusra, the al-Nusra Front, and they claim to be an al-Qaeda affiliate. I think all this stuff about the Khorasan group and ISIL and Jabhat al-Nusra and these al-Qaeda affiliates, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all one group. And the young people, including many French, including some French Jews, have gone to Syria to join these groups to fight against Assad. And I liken this. I don't think these are Islamic people at all. I don't think they're Muslim people, because when you look at their rhetoric and the awful things they do, this sort of satanic eating hearts, as you mentioned, cutting off heads, I'm beginning to think it's some sort of cult that has used Islam as some sort of rallying cry, but it's the furthest thing from Islam. I liken it to this there's this cartoon character that convinces young teens to like murder their parents, their mothers, burn down a house, and I liken it to that kind of a cult. And it certainly makes me wonder whether we're not seeing some sort of old CIA MK Ultra operation play out here to radicalize the Middle East and bring on this clash once again, a renewed clash of civil
war. Sure, it's a global civil war at every level. Come back, let's do 5 more minutes, and then I've got some shocking news breaking at InfoWars.com. It just broke. The Onion is now attacking Christians and capitalizing on the murders. There is no end.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Back when the French newspaper was getting firebombed, The Onion didn't really come out in defense of it. They came out with an image saying no one murdered because of this image. And it's Moses, Jesus, Vishnu, and Buddha. I can't show it. All having sex together. And see, that's what irritates me. The globalists are going to pick something that has some real issues, some real weight, and then exacerbate it, fan the flames, put salt in the wound. And Wayne's been all over the Middle East. He's dealt with it. He's seen it firsthand. He understands it. But clearly, the West is funding and trying to stir this up. Wayne, I just can't believe that they're getting away with it. Where do you see all this going? How do you think the war against Russia and the war against U.S. Wildcat or oil producers is going? A few minutes on the big picture, Wayne, and other points.
Well, I noticed that this new Republican class in the Senate wasted no time in calling for increased homeland security powers in our country as a result of this attack in Paris. Insane McCain and his boyfriend Lindsey Graham were right out of the gate on this one.
Meanwhile, he's been meeting with the very groups, getting them funds and millions of dollars. That's too rich.
Yeah. I mean, McCain wants to try to convince everybody that it must have been a doppelganger that was in Syria meeting with ISIL. And I just think that the recruiting effort and that many of these people that join ISIL don't even have any Muslim lineage. They have Irish names. They're from Catholic families. They're from Jewish families. In some cases, they're from Buddhist families in Asia. And Hindu families in India, and I couldn't think of the name of the character, but Slender Man. I think of it as some sort of mind control operation, like this Slender Man comic that convinces some young people to go and kill their parents.
Well, sure. I mean, it's a way. It's like joining the French Foreign Legion in Bizarro World. You get to go kill, steal, and destroy. You get to go fight in a renegade criminal army. And I look at the eyes and the faces of these jihadis. They're like cartoon crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all central casting.
Absolutely. And now the people that carried out the attack against Charlie Hebdo, I think, are not these types of individuals as we were talking about.
Oh, they're obviously the opposite. They're totally cold-blooded, totally calm.
Right. And where do I see this going now? Well, obviously, we're seeing, calls for increased security here, the McCains, and there's some new senator from Oklahoma named Lankford who's already on the Homeland Security Committee yakking this up. And they're going to, this is going to be used by some of these new freshman senators as a chance to introduce themselves to the American public as we're tough on terrorism. Yeah, the timing of this is very, very suspicious. Coming as the new Congress has convened, and also so soon after the problems in Germany with the anti-Muslim and pro-Muslim right demonstrations, and the French vote in the UN Security Council in favor of recognizing Palestine and making them a full member of the UN. So I think there's a lot at play here, but there are certainly people that are now going to use the current situation to try to further exacerbate tensions. And with the plunge in oil prices, of course, look at where the exacerbation of these tensions are taking place in some of the oil-producing nations, not only Russia, but also in the Middle East and Venezuela, among others.
Sure, it's a global energy war, and it's all starting to come to a head. WayneMadsenReport.com. Wayne, thank you so much for coming on quickly.
Good to be with you, Alex.
Always great to have Wayne on. Stay with us. We'll be back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up today as we enter the second hour, the latest on the Paris shooting that took the lives of 12 people, including two police officers, of the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. We have the unedited videos of him executing the police officer and running around screaming Allah Akbar on Infowars.com. You're going to watch violent video games of simulated murder all day on television. You might as well see the real thing. In this politically correct world, in the old days on the news, they'd show real violence, but then they wouldn't show simulated violence because simulated violence made real violence a joke. Now they show simulated violence, conditioning you to accept it, but then won't show you real violence. It's up on Infowars.com right now. Coming up, I want to read some of what the editor had to say before he was killed in an article about extremists who don't need any excuses, he told Der Spiegel. We are only criticizing one particular form of extremist Islam, albeit in a peculiar and satirical, exaggerated form. We are not responsible for the excesses that happen elsewhere, just because we practice our right to freedom of expression within the legal limits. The White House has come out and said that they're not sure this is terrorism. Isn't that interesting? So it's okay to make fun of Merkel of Germany or Cameron of the UK or Obama of the US. Actually, it isn't okay. They call it racist when you criticize him. But don't you make fun of anything Islamic. And again, I'm not getting sucked into hating Muslims. That's not what we're about. It's not what we do. But Muslims coming to the West, and a lot of them are fleeing here to get away from oppression, need to know we have freedom of speech. We're laissez-faire. That's the way it is, and that's how we're going to stay. Just like feminists came out and said, you know, fire the guy of the space mission because he was wearing a shirt with girls in bikinis on it. Well, his girlfriend made it for him. So what? Shut up. It's free speech. You're a tyrant. You make me sick. Dianne Feinstein wanting a censor of the internet. You're a witch. But let me tell you, a bunch of jihadis want to shut my free speech up. And then a lot of these mainline Islamic groups want to shut down free speech in America. I don't care if it's the FCC, Obama, Al Gore's wife. I don't care who it is. No. Do you got it? I may totally disagree with something the new Black Panther Party says, a bunch of racist Black Klan members. I'll die for them to have the right to say it. I disagree with what the Klan says, but I'll die for their right to say it. As long as you don't call for violence against somebody, specifically saying, go kill such and such, it's free speech. They were trying to ban people protesting open borders and the Islamification of Germany yesterday in big nationwide protest. I mean, Europe is turning into a tyranny and a fake clash of civilizations. Now, I wanted to get Pastor Manning on for 30 minutes today to get an update on his bold move to call for Al Sharpton to be basically boycotted and fired. Now, again, people can say, well, that's calling for censorship. No, it's not. Saying if saying he shouldn't be able to have a publication anywhere is censorship. If you go after somebody's sponsors, that's called a boycott. And Al Sharpton's an FBI rat. He's been caught dealing drugs. He's been linked to people dying. Everybody knows about the stuff he's done. And now he's linked to hyping up this race war garbage. He has no viewers. He's already basically fired. The point is to be in Harlem, where he's the king rat, is a bold move by Pastor Manning. We'll talk to him. Then coming up, a special report. Flu claims the life of a whole bunch of little girls in one town alone after getting the flu shot. Also, Hawaii is having record-breaking cold, but California has started a global warming tax at the gas pumps. We're going to tie that into all this other tyranny, a bunch of drone news. It's all coming up today. But we are joined by the head of a very successful large church there for 30 years, Otlet.org. Pastor Manning joins us today. Pastor James David Manning. But since we already have this Islamification, radical Islamification happening, I want to get his take on that because he's spoken out against it. We're actually going to pull up the video. I forgot to tell you guys to find it. It's in a speech. I have the quote where Obama basically cursed those that make fun of the Prophet Muhammad. We don't need a president attacking people who engage in their free speech. He could say, I disagree with them. But to have the president saying basically bad things will happen to people is an encouragement while they fund radical Islam to go into Syria and Iraq and kill every Christian and Jew and non-radical Muslim, Alawite or Shiite they can find. It's pretty disgusting. Pastor Manning, what's your take on the tragic shootings in Paris? And overall, where do you see all this going in the master plan? What's your discernment, your gut tell you is behind it?
There are two things, Alex. First of all, it's good to be on your broadcast again. Thank you so very much for a second invite. There are two things about what happened in Paris over the last 18 hours or so. Number one is that France itself has become a very radical, if you will, atheistic, if you must, non-believing, politically correct nation. And they have welcomed and embraced Muslims into their nation for various reasons and allowed them to build a large population. They're the second largest religion in France.
Well, Pastor Manning, we're having an audio problem again with you. Let's go to phone. I'm going to put you on hold while we go to phone. And then we're going to come right back to you to get your take on that. Thank you, Pastor Manning of Otlet.org is our guest. And I want to give him the floor to break all of this down. I have it here in my stack. In fact, I'm going to dig it out. But where are all these journalists that are racing to show solidarity with the newspaper in France after the terror attack? Free speech must not be silenced in the wake of the Charlie Hebdo attack. Where was everybody? And some of them were there when there have been calls to silence people criticizing big government or people criticizing Obamacare being called racist. That's quite a demonization label on someone that exposes Obamacare for what it is, a giant stinking fraud. And where is the press coming out when Obama has been critical of those that criticize, quote, Muhammad? Remember when he did that after Benghazi? He was blaming a film for the riots all over, not blaming riots taking over the Middle East funded by the West on the people rioting and killing. No, blaming it on America's free speech. In fact, guys, I had that in my stack. I know you gave it to me. Just reprint me the quote where Obama attacks those critical of the Prophet Muhammad. I want to read his actual quote on air, because it's just stunning to see where all of this is going. Because I don't care who was behind it in the final equation, you're not taking my free speech. Do you understand?
And that's the future must not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam. But to be credible, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate we see in the images of Jesus Christ that are desecrated, or churches that are destroyed, or the Holocaust that is denied.
Okay. Sounds reasonable, except Obama is part of the Western power structure arming the radical jihadis, and that's on record that we're Al-Qaeda's air force in Syria. Remember Ted Cruz? We have Pastor Manning now. We didn't have audio problems until he went live. We're going to diagnose this problem again later and have you back on, sir. But I'm sorry, you've got the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things, Alex. One is that I'm concerned that France, being a very liberal, if you will, politically correct, atheistic nation that has embraced a large amount of Muslims into the fabric of their society, that they should expect these kinds of things to happen, embracing a very radical, if you will, group of people. But France has become a very radical nation itself, is what I want to point out. But my other point is this, is that why did this happen in Paris and not in New York City? Why did it happen in Paris and not in Washington, D.C.? And my question is, why is it that we haven't seen something like this in America? Not that I'm advocating that it should, mind you. God forbid. That's not what I'm advocating. What I'm stating is there a reason why, since the fraud of 9/11, that Muslims have been coddled and embraced and thought of as a people that are not people to be feared, and we've had no major event here in America? Is it because somehow or another Barack Hussein Obama, having a Muslim name and Muslim ties and praising Islam, that it has not taken place in here in New York, and that we're looking to see this happen in some point later on in a very violent way? Those are my two concerns.
Something is suspicious here. I mean, when the West funds al-Qaeda to take over Syria and then renames them ISIS, then they double back and go into Iraq, there's a very complex global destabilization going on here. Again, in your gut, in your discernment, but also studying the news every day, where do you see all this going?
Well, as you said, something suspicious is happening here. I mean, we have joined forces with al-Qaeda in Syria, as you have stated, and been supportive of a large number of other Islamic acts around the globe. So are we being protected because we are supportive of Islamic activity, jihadist activity, al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS? I'm just suspicious that we haven't had any attack here in Paris, or France has had, and others have had as well, that somehow or another that we're being protected. Now, listen, I'm not encouraging that we should have an attack.
That's no, I totally get it. You're asking, why is everybody else getting attacked and we're not?
Absolutely. Aren't we the big dog? Aren't we the biggest world power? Why shouldn't we be the target of these kinds of attacks? Unless there's some sort of deal that's being cut that we don't know about that is advancing, that by the same time while not being attacked, that we are opening up the doors for others to be attacked. It's simply what I'm asking as a question.
Well, I think at a certain level that's definitely going on, and then the army has to go over whenever al-Qaeda or ISIS gets outside the coloring and the numbers, when they get off the reservation in like a flock of locusts, a horde of locusts, then our own military has to go in and actually fight the very group. Our own military has said they're fighting our own weapons.
Listen, Alex, you know, ISIS has taken over Syria and part of the northern part of Syria and the western part of Iraq. Who is to say that ISIS did not do this event under the guise of protecting the legacy or the reputation of the Prophet Muhammad? But really what they want to do is to try to set up an Islamic state in France, a nation that is very weak politically, very weak militarily. I don't have a lot of respect for the military.
That's right. The French have totally given up their culture, and even demographers say that it's been colonized by Islam, and with another generation will be Islamic. So
right.
Will Germany.
Absolutely. So why would not this be a shot across the bow that ISIS would like to be able to take over France as well? And this would be the way in demonstrating the striking fear in the hearts of most French people and Parisians in particular. That's my concern. Those are some of my concerns about this event. I think it's a horrible event. You know, I mourn with the people who are directly affected by this, but I see a political motive behind all of this, if you ask me.
All right, shifting gears into other issues, and then you're going to leave us in 10 minutes, and I appreciate your time. I'll get back into this, the latest news, and a host of other issues, including 10 earthquakes rocking North Texas, centering around the Cowboys Stadium. What a bizarre headline from CBS News. But going back to Pastor Manning, you are standing up for free speech, going up against the kingpin there, Al Sharpton. Recap what you announced last week, how that's going, and if you've had any repercussions going after the king of scum as you called him up there in Harlem.
Al Sharpton, in addition to being the king of scum, is a liar. He's a race baiter. He is a pimp. He's a snitch. He's a rat. He's a drug dealer. And what we're proposing, that MSNBC fires Al Sharpton, has nothing to do with free speech, but everything with the inciting of riotous behavior that has led to many deaths. And we believe, in fact, the drums are stating that we're having a great inroad into the psyche of MSNBC. First of all, they don't have anybody listening to them or watching them at all at present. But the other thing is that he is a liability to them. I am mounting a campaign, Alex, calling it 70 million Americans strong. And I'm looking at the number of Americans who have the right constitutional American beliefs, Christian beliefs that we should all employ, that to unite, to boycott against every advertiser of MSNBC. And to pull these 70 million strong together, we are running a campaign by placing an ad in the Wall Street Journal, as I made mention of last week, but also by having this kind of a boycott to take down Al Sharpton, we can begin to see civility return to America again. Right now, there's a war, there's a race war going on between young black men, or black men in particular, unknowingly, and police officers. I mean, either one of the two groups don't know when there's going to be a confrontation that has been spawned by people like Obama, Al Sharpton in particular, and these recent, if you will, marches and protests that have been led by Al Sharpton. Most black men right now who are the reputable, who don't have any beef with the police officers, the law officers, are now concerned that they may become targets because police are very jumpy, black people are jumpy, and all of this because of Al Sharpton. There is no reason why this man should continue to be on a venue like MSNBC. We're going to take him down. That much I can promise America. Al Sharpton will not be on MSNBC very much longer. 70 million Americans are uniting to bring him down.
Elaborate on why the power structure supports him so much.
Well, it's a very simple reason, quite frankly. Racism sells. Racism drives black people to the polls. It also drives white people to the polls as well. Racism is a great vote getter. It raises funds. It gets money. And when you got someone who's in, you can call, and I probably shouldn't use this, but it makes the point. You can call Al Sharpton the Michael Jordan of racism. I mean, he is a superstar. And everybody knows it. The Democrats love it. The left, the Leninists, they love it. So that's why he is so popular, because he drives political votes. He gets people out to the polls to get people elected, simply on the basis of race itself. But this has to stop. America cannot continue to function like this with such a small segment of his society, 11-12% black people, who are now wagging the dog through this racism business. I'm calling for white America to step out of the shadows and stop being afraid of being called a racist. I think that's one of the ways in which we've seen our nation go down the tubes, and we have this race war going on now. But that's the reason why he's so important and critical to the left.
Well, looking at 2015 now, is it safe to say that 2014 is the year that the race card was no longer king? Because it's still somewhat effective, but more and more it's been so overused that if you don't support any part of the globalist agenda, you're called a racist. Well, people used to be afraid of being called racist, but they're so sick of being called it when they're not, that it just doesn't have the same effect anymore. And it kind of worries me, because then when you've got real racism going on and really unsavory stuff happening by either group, it isn't even listened to anymore because people are getting sick of it. I'm concerned that it's going to cause a revival of some white racism, because people are going to be recruited by racists because they're sick of being called racist, they're going to then buy into even more radical ideologies.
You know, I would agree with you on the revival. I don't know whether I would continue the thought that it will be a revival of white races. I think I might want to say that it would be a revival of patriots, Christians, who can be labeled nefarious in some degree, but people who would say that we've just had enough of this.
No, obviously that's going on. I'm just talking about a minority, a very small minority of whites that will then go to the other extreme because of the extreme black racism we see getting pushed towards whites. I'm saying I think that's the attempt, is the balkanization.
Well, then if you're talking about a very small group of people, yeah, you're going to have that. I think, in fact, I'm sure that those groups are already strategizing on how they're going to deal with this. But I think the larger issue here is how are we going to resolve it? I mean, I believe that by cutting off the head of the snake, Al Sharpton, that we can begin to bring civility back to America, and we can begin to bring back harmony between the races. I recognize as well that I'm going to take a lot of heat and already catching it as a result of having publicly stated that we are calling for MSNBC to fire Al Sharpton. I realize that. I understand that. But I think ultimately in the end, we're going to discover that even people who in some way may tacitly support Al Sharpton will recognize that he's done more damage to America as a nation and to black people in particular than you could ever begin to think about what any strong racist white group have ever thought about doing to black people in terms of destruction of the family, destruction of the morale, the loss of employment capabilities and possibilities.
Doubling in black unemployment, 52% of abortions being black. I mean, the Democratic Party is a black killing machine.
Right. Absolutely right. So anything that any group that would rise up to consider doing would be minor, if not minuscule, compared to what Al Sharpton has already done.
No, I totally agree. I'm saying people like Al Sharpton are there to make it a mindless racist debate instead of one about economics and real equality and the content of people's deeds and their hearts, not what color they are.
Yeah, and so, you know, the question you raise, I think, is a very poignant question. How did he get to this position of being coddled? You know, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, calls him and stated early on before the killing of the two police officers and the Eric Garner the jury verdict, that he calls Al Sharpton constantly for advice on the affairs of the city of New York. He's a deputy mayor or the assistant mayor. You know, there's something dreadfully wrong with the psyche of the American people that this is going on in our nation.
It's a sick joke. It's a totally sick joke. He's a clown. He's a crook, in my view. Doesn't even pay his taxes, but wants to raise ours. Pastor Manning, great job. We'll get another update from you in a few weeks. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you very much, Alex, for having me.
Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in this time to promise love.
All right, we're going to look at something we can do something about here, and that's the flu shots and other vaccines that we know are making people sick, and in almost every case, not even giving you acquired immunity. I don't care if it's Gardasil for HPV. I don't care if it's the flu shot. This is known medical fact. And now people, not just the media, but adherents to this are getting in people's face saying, you better take the flu shot. I don't want you to give it to me. Hey, bozo. If the flu shot protects you from the flu, why do I need to get it so I don't give it to you? Do you need me to slap you upside the head so you understand that, dummy? You don't know how to search engine and read hundreds and hundreds of medical and governmental reports admitting they've never produced a flu shot that was the right mutation for the next year and that it lowers your immunity. Shut up, ignorant idiots. Get out of my face. See, I'm already ranting. I'm gonna get back to that in just a moment. Excuse me. We're going to play the special report from the Nightly News last night. Rob Dew was bringing me a bunch of articles about it on the latest deaths of little girls in one town after they take the flu shot. It makes me so angry. But before I go any further, we have not plugged anything yet today, and we've got a bunch of specials running in the month of January that are some of the biggest specials we've ever offered. You can get roughly half off a Prison Planet, Nightly News, all my films, ebooks, 20 years of material. The site's been around 15 years at prisonplanet.tv or infowarsnews.com. 20 people can use each membership simultaneously, so it's more like 50. If you ever log in and doesn't work because folks are logged in using it, you ought to jump up and down that you got 20 people to watch the Nightly News. So if you got a membership, share your username and passcode so friends and family can use it. Create a new username and passcode that isn't on your other stuff. That's the only issue. So friends and family can use it. And it's $5.95 a month, or get a yearly membership and get basically half off. Right now, in the month of January, prisonplanet.tv, and you're funding the tip of the spear of hardcore truth journalism. We're not left or right. We're right and wrong. Our bias is open. We tell the truth even when it hurts us. I've proven I do that. It was very unpopular to come out and say there's a cover-up of what really happened on 9/11 the day it happened. But I had to. I lost 70% of my affiliates, went from over 100 down to about 30. And I'm still on this network because Ted Anderson backed me. He said, yeah, you're losing almost all your affiliates and your sponsors, but I'll keep you on even if you go down to nothing. Well, here we are at about 180 affiliates today, telling the same old hardcore truth, but people now know not to trust the system. Are we endorsing radical Islam? Are we saying it doesn't exist and happen? No. Are we saying there was a stand down on 9/11 and it's been used to take our liberties and they now say Homeland Security's for veterans and gun owners? Yes. Get a prisonplanet.tv membership and we can go to the next level. If you already got one, create another and create 20 e-cards and give them to friends and family. Username, passcode, boom, they're on. Prisonplanet.tv, want to thank all of you that are members. Separately, we've got the biggest special going ever on ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. 10% off promo code WATER. Takes the lowest price out there and brings it down 10%. To the biggest distributor in the world now of these. Super high quality, up against all the competition, the best. It's got the competition hopping mad, putting out this info. ProPure, the G2 filters, we also have clearly filtered. It's almost as good, but a lot less expensive. InfoWarsStore.com, 10% off promo code WATER. We always have that special. You add free shipping to it. Shipping's a lot on a big water filter like this on these different units. So that's free shipping. That's running in the month of January. And then we have the best deal ever on Oxy powder that flushes out. People keep saying OxyContin. No, folks. It's time-released, higher-level oxygen, where it time-releases basically ozone in the upper and lower intestine. You know, the average person's got between 10 to 20 pounds, they debated, of dead garbage in your intestines. This just flushes it out. Rob Dew's sitting right here, lost 12 pounds in 1 week following it, just 5-6 pills at night with lemon juice before he went to bed. You can get that discounted 48% off with the methylcobalamin, true, organic, pharmaceutical grade, vitamin B12, fused with another type of key vitamin B12 to supercharge it as an enzyme, as we have heard it described. Secret 12, we believe, is the best out there. Incredible energy effects with no hangover. The true energy, few drops, it's amazing. And then super male or super female vitality, your choice. The three things together, 48% off, InfoWarsLife.com. Or 888-253-3139. Here's that number again, 888-253-3139. We have specials running on X2, Silver Bullet, Lung Cleanse, Fluoride Cleanse, Fluoride Shield, all the products, InfoWarsLife.com, that are our proprietary, highest quality that we can bring you at InfoWarsLife.com. DNA Force, Original Survival Shield, the high-quality Arabica beans from the high mountains of southern Mexico, organically grown in the shade there with the volcanic soil. Best coffee, I think. Everybody agrees it's excellent, even if you don't think it's the best. And it's Wake Up America coffee. We also have something called Ancient Defense. It's on a new label we're putting out, but it's internally developed by us, one of the biggest manufacturers in the country, of well-known ancient herbs used by cultures across the world in a fusion to boost your immune system off the chart. This is a Rolls-Royce product at a pinto cost. This is really our big sleeper that I haven't even rolled out yet, but I'm doing it. Ancient Defense, InfoWarsLife.com. Okay, that's mid-air refueling. We also fund ourselves with these high-quality products, so it's a win-win-win. You get high-quality products, you support the broadcast, and you get a good price on it as well. I want to thank you all for your prayers and your financial support. Please support our local AM and FM affiliates. Become sponsors, support their local sponsors, or just give a donation to your local station, because we're getting a lot of new stations because you've been supporting them, and we're getting good ratings because the truth is popular. We're teleprompter-free radio. I'm just somebody upset about what's happening, taking action. Now, coming up, record cold weather all over the Northern Hemisphere, but they want carbon taxes, and they're started in California outside of law. They're just doing it. The latest on the attacks in France. We'll open the phones up in the next hour, get your take on that, especially from military folks. But before we go any further, look at these headlines. Wall Street Journal. Schools on guard as flu deaths rise. Officials concerned this year's vaccine may not fully protect against the virus. Oh, because they take it and then they die. Oh, so it wasn't protecting against the virus. It's like you shoot yourself in the head with a gun. You go, that wasn't protecting against gunshots. Stick your hand in the garbage disposal. That wasn't protecting my hand against garbage disposals. That's how they spin it. Healthy Iowa three-year-old dies from flu after getting flu vaccine. No, it's died from flu vaccine. Flu victim fought hard, family says. 14 dead. Got a six-year-old dead here. All in the same town where Rob has lived. And Rob Dew, news director of InfoWars Nightly News, is in here. Breaking this down, I drug him in here to talk about this. We're going to play his report here in a minute or two, but this is truly sickening that the Gardasil shot killed a bunch of people, banned in Japan, banned in India. The same thing. This is really sick. I was talking to a lady I've known for 6 years saying, they told you your due date was the 6th? They're going to induce you. Don't let them induce you. Wait a few weeks. There's a lot of complications, a lot of problems. I've been through it, 3 kids. She went in, the doctor said, we're going to go ahead and induce you, and is now having all these complications, but they get more money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, but people do what the medical system tells them. Rob Dew.
Well, here's another one. Flu claims life of feisty Des Moines 7-year-old. Now, this kid had a heart condition, and he was on a list for a heart transplant, but he was running around, normal kid. They get the flu shot. He had been vaccinated against the flu, but the family, you know, he was probably told by his doctors he had a heart problem, made him vulnerable, and then he dies. And these kids are dying very quickly. After they get the flu shot, they get the flu, and then next thing you know, 2-3 days later, they're in the hospital on death's bed.
Well, they tell pregnant women now take the shot. Until 6 years ago, it said on the insert, never do that.
Yeah, there are videos out the wazoo just doing this research, and these are doctors that are sitting up there. Yeah, even pregnant women should get it, and they're sitting there looking at the camera, lying to people about
it. How long's this video?
It's about 5 minutes long, and it goes into a lot of different things. I show some clips from different newscasts, talks about what's in the flu shot.
I know it was on the Nightly News. I usually watch the Nightly News. I only caught part of it last night, taking care of the kids, but this aired on the Nightly News last night. I mean, you've got 3 children. I've got 3 children. It makes me physically ill. I've done the research. I wish they had clean vaccines. I wish they were. They're not.
No.
They're not. I mean, they admit the flu shot has never helped anyone. Have you been confronted by people in stores or on the street saying you better get your flu shot?
Oh, yeah. And I tell them, have you read the insert? Have you seen what's in what they want to inject in your body? And I said, it doesn't even protect you from this year's flu strain. It never does.
They're always ignorant and huff and puff.
Well, yeah. And then they always have, well, the CDC said it mutated, so there's nothing we could do about it. It does that every year, though. And every year we do this. Every year we come back to the same thing. And we put out videos. We did the one with the Prozac, the clown.
It's just like they said until the 70s, cigarettes were good for your lungs.
Yeah.
And people in the 20s said they weren't. They were called conspiracy theorists.
Right.
Vaccines are killing you, folks. It's a globalist operation, just like the fluoride. Let's go to this
And with the two kids in there, they say perfectly healthy before that. And they say that in that Wall Street Journal article. Most of the kids that die are no health, no known health conditions, except for getting the flu shot. But they don't put it in all the articles.
Well, then they spin it. They go, must mean the flu shot isn't defending them against the flu.
Right.
Exactly. It's the flu shot doing it. It's not that it lowers your immunity bare minimum. How many studies say that?
It attacks the brain. That's it.
It causes
autoimmune defense.
And then the cops come and say you shook the baby.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad.
But you're blessed when the child just dies there at the clinic. Yeah. But if they die in the car or at home or don't wake up, you're going to jail. See, it's not enough to kill your kid. They're going to take you to prison as well. So just go ahead, go get induced for labor. Don't listen. Eat your GMO. Drink your fluoride. Drink your aspartame. Just do it. Fine. Just believe the system. Let's go to Rob Dew's report. Infowars.com. We're going to post this video right now for radio listeners at Infowars.com and Prison Planet.
3-year-old Aisley McCarthy was buried today in Elkhorn. Her family tells me she died Monday morning at Blank Children's Hospital in Des Moines, not even 48 hours after she started showing flu-like symptoms.
Hey guys, Rob Dew here for Infowars.com and Infowars Nightly News. And here's a story that I wanted to share with you. And I want you to get this out to anybody you know, especially if someone you know out there is thinking about getting the flu shot. Family's devastation after their healthy 3-year-old daughter dies from flu less than 72 hours after she began feeling unwell. And this is the story of Azalee McCarthy, a beautiful little 3-year-old girl who started complaining of symptoms just after Christmas. And in 72 hours, her parents were holding her in a wrapped up cloth at the hospital as she died in their arms. Very heartbreaking story. And it really disturbed me as I read this article and then went to the source link, which is the Des Moines Register. But here's what they had to say at Daily Mail. She began complaining to her mother that her legs hurt so much she couldn't walk. And in less than 72 hours, she'd be dead at Children's Hospital in Des Moines, Iowa. And of course, the family is shocked and confused. They don't know why she contacted this and was dead such a short while later. But here's where it gets really interesting. Here in the Des Moines Register, healthy Iowa 3-year-old dies from the flu. Third sentence down, she was healthy and she had her flu shot, said Amber McCarthy, Azalee's mother. The whole thing is unreal. And it is unreal. When you think about in this day and age and we have all this medical technology that a little girl could get a flu shot and then become sick with the flu and actually the same types of flu that are in the flu shot and then die in 72 hours. But what really angered me was a quote from the health department there in Polk County. And this is Nola Anger, who said, "If people would get the flu shot, it can limit the severity of flu symptoms if they do get it. The shot offers protections for other strains. This is a serious illness and can affect healthy people." Apparently, it affected this little girl. So they say in the Des Moines article that she came down with influenza type A and B. Well, let's look at what's in the flu shot. Here it is on the CDC website. Traditional flu vaccines called trivalent vaccines are made to protect against three flu viruses, including influenza A, H1N1, influenza A, H3N2, and an influenza B virus. So if you go back to the Des Moines Register article, you'll see that she tested positive for influenza A and B at the time she was admitted into the hospital.
This year, my main tip is to not get the flu vaccine. It's amazing how many people are sick and even the deaths that have occurred because what they're doing now is they're using these trivalent vaccines that protect against three strains of the flu. And this year, the 2014-2015 vaccine contains influenza A H3N2, and it contains influenza A H1N1. That's right. They actually put the H1N1 in this year's flu vaccine and influenza B.
Now let's look at what else is in the flu shot. This is from DrTenPenny.com, the truth about the flu shot. It also contains egg proteins, including avian contaminant viruses, gelatin, which can cause allergies, polysorbate 80, which is known to cause severe allergic reactions, and also is associated with infertility in mice, formaldehyde, Triton X100, a strong detergent, table sugar, resin, known to cause allergic reactions, an antibiotic, and thimerosal, mercury, which is still in the multi-dose viral flu shot. vaccines.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
So these are also the things that you're injecting into your children and into your elderly parents and into yourself if you get the flu shot, in addition to three different types of flu viruses.
Doctors told the family the cause of death was a combination of influenza A, influenza B, and sepsis. The family says before Saturday, Aisley was perfectly healthy and had no pre-existing medical conditions.
And so the mother in this story, Amber, is left with no child and wondering why. She did everything right. She said she had her child vaccinated. She even got the flu shot. And this is what happened. It's still the same outcome. She succumbed to the virus that she was supposed to be protected against. That's because it really doesn't offer you protection. And you can read that on the insert. They just say that so they could get these people out there and get these flu vaccines into people. And it's a money-making scheme. And what does it do? For most people, it makes them sick, which will then make them go to the doctor, which then they'll be prescribed more drugs. And don't take my word for it. There's countless of other people out there that have done studies on the flu vaccine and its ineffectiveness.
They found that if someone, your neighbor or kids in school or anybody that you hang out with got the flu vaccine, that it can spread to other people for up to 17 to 25 days later.
So you need to look at this story. I'm providing the links below. You can read it for yourself. And you need to feel bad for this family. Because they were caught up in the ruse. They were caught up in the medical industrial complex ruse.
That's right.
Hey, if you get the flu shot, you'll be protected.
There's about a minute left of the report. It's very powerful. Audio, it's powerful, but video, we have all the documents and articles. We're going to repost it to InfoWars.com, tweet it at Real Alex Jones. Folks, it's like bees kill some people. Some people have bad reactions to vaccines, but that's just one part of it. Well, the media doesn't want you to see the gunman executing one of the police officers in Paris earlier today. We have the still shot, front page of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Allah Akbar, God is great, mass terrorist with Kalashnikovs and rocket launcher, said prior to killing staff at French magazine. That's InfoWars.com. Media censoring Muhammad cartoons amid Paris shooting. Even the London Independent now, in tweets and previous articles they did on it, is blurring out the magazine. So we're going to click on that article, Media Censoring Muhammad Cartoons, and we're going to, I guess, involve ourselves in the great mega thought crime of showing it. Look how they blurred it out right there. If you're a radio listener, go to the website and you can see it. Truly disgusting. And then I was reading the magazine because there's PDFs online. We should post some of those in our articles. Very mild stuff. But if it was extreme, that is their free speech. I mean, this is just crazy. Only in America do we say, come here and we'll give you free everything. Or come to France, we'll give you free welfare. And then all of this goes on. But separately on the issue of the flu vaccine, if something was like the Black Plague and was killing people en masse and they had an inoculation against it that had danger, but they admitted the cost-benefit analysis, and in the greater sum, I thought I could get Black Plague or my kids could, I might decide to take a vaccine. But I've researched it. Most people got polio from the polio vaccine, including my grandmother, a month after she'd been vaccinated. Most people in Europe, in Eastern Europe, in Central Asia, get it after they've taken it. Look it up. They have flu shot trials all the time with, like, homeless people, and they'll vaccinate 40 and 25 of them die. You can just search that term. Homeless die in bird flu test. And it's like, oh, they're just dead. It's no big deal. I remember once one of Rick Perry's top people came to my showing of Endgame at the Alamo Draft House, and he called, and I remember, says, I've seen you on television. Yeah, and he goes, yeah, I used to be in the Army, a medic, and yeah, they should take troops in and give them shots. They'd be dead 2 days later. We have to wear, like, you know, basically spacesuits in there cleaning it up. I don't know what they were giving them. There it is, London Telegraph again. Homeless people die after bird flu vaccine trial in Poland. And I said 25 died. I was just going from memory. How many does it say died? It was 20-something. The issue I'm getting at here is, this is not my opinion. So, Do you know how they cook up? I mean, the anthrax shots were killing the troops en masse back in 2000, 2001, until the Army doctors refused to give the shots. They started court-martialing some, but then backed off and stopped it. A bunch of journalists died that went on with the military. Remember they gave smallpox in 2003? And it was killing them, causing heart attacks. It causes an autoimmune response in the heart and the brain, folks. It'll kill you. Almost everyone I know has either almost died or has family that almost died or did die. In my family, my personal trainer knows people. You know people, Rob, that almost died. And I went on this brief jag. I want to get your brief take on this in the next segment. Then we've got calls coming up and the latest on what's happening with this whole shooting in France, the new distraction. But within it is a larger debate that's important. I had a different doctor, another doctor, the last two children. It's a catch-22. I don't want to have a kid at home in the bathtub. I admire people that do it, and statistically, I've seen the numbers. They're safer than a hospital. But I want to have a hospital. I want to have a doctor. The day my wife was due, they said, we're inducing you tomorrow. You're having a kid. Well, back in the old days, back when they knew what they were doing, because, by the way, infant mortality has gone back up now. Look it up. In the U.S., they would wait at least a week or two or three, depending on the position of the baby, before they would induce. Then the cervix doesn't dilate properly, but then they get to do cesareans, they get to do epidurals, spinal blocks, and they get five times more money. And I told this lady I know who's a friend of mine, I like her, I said, don't vaccinate, here's the statistics, and they're going to try to induce you. They even try to set the dates early now to always induce. They want to make childbirth totally unnatural. It'll soon be a conspiracy theory that women ever had them vaginally. She still went in, let them do it, had the complications. I mean, it's just incredible. We'll be back. Stay
with
us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back in 1 minute. Don't take the shots, folks, at your own peril.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I'm going to open the phones up for first-time callers. I'd like to hear from military people, police officers, you name it, with a view on the footage. The shooters, we're already hearing that they're actors with no evidence of that. And I'm being attacked as a government stooge by commenters on InfoWars.com. Show me some evidence. Sandy Hook is as phony as a $3 bill. I caught blue screens. The same kids going back in the school. We have top school safety experts that wrote the book on it saying it's fake. On and on and on for days. But it's not all fake, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of real stuff out there. And let me tell you, them shooting that cop in the head, that looks real. I mean, I've had to shoot animals that have been chewed up by coyotes and are half alive, cows, you name it, deer that are caught up in fences. I know what it looks like when you walk up and shoot a mammal in the head at close. That's exactly what it looks like. Looks, I tell you, or it's special effects then. See, we're over here trying to find reality. We're not conspiracy theorists. Then you've got the establishment that puts out its own delusions, and then people online that think they can put out whatever reality they want. I'm looking for the real reality. Rob, do any take of finishing up on your wife and them trying to induce her or whatever, and then any comments on this situation that just took place in Paris?
Well, with the video there, you can actually see the ricochet coming. I guess it either went through the guy's head or behind, but you can see something hit the sidewalk, you know, following the path of the bullet. So I don't think that's fake at all. That looks like totally real what happened.
Well, deer get caught a lot in fences, cattle fences, and you'll see one in total pain, sometimes tied up for a week in a fence. You go and shoot it in the head. I mean, I haven't taken pleasure in a cow that had its back broken and coyotes had been eating on it. It was still alive. They ate it the back first. I shot it in the head. I mean, I am proud of it. I took it out of its misery, but I know what it looks like. It looks real to me.
Yeah. And then with what you were talking about with getting induced, with my third son, when he was born, the doctor wanted to induce my wife. And she was already in labor, and they wanted to break her water to make it speed up the process. And I personally believe it was because the doctor wanted to, you know, she was there for 8 hours, and she wanted it to be done in her shift and didn't.
Well, see, if it's one thing if you're in labor already, that's bad enough. What about when you're not in labor and they induce it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's... there's so many other things that can happen. With my first son, there was an army of specialists that came in because she had a blood pressure issue that came in and were standing there in the back of the hospital, of the room. And I said, what are these guys here for? And they were just all standing there. She goes, well, they're here in case anything happens. I'm like, what could happen? After the baby was born, fine, they all march out. That was a $10,000 bill for having those guys just stand there. $10,000.
Yeah, so they're screw job by the hospitals. They're screw jobs by the insurance companies. Now their answer is a bigger screw job called Obamacare.
Exactly. And then with this the flu video, if you watch the end of it, there's a Dr. Oz talking about how people need to get their flu shot to protect everybody. He talks about the risks, but then he says he doesn't give his kids the flu shot because his wife won't let him. So we need to have parents out there stand up to the system. And if your kid happens to die of the flu shot or has some complications afterward, get out there and talk about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it to warn other people. You don't want this happening to other people's children.
Well, exactly. And look, tetanus shot, even though they're caught spiking it more than anyone because they can really manipulate you in the genetics with that by adding pathogens to it. I won't go off on a jag about it. But a tetanus shot you could argue for, or a polio spreading you could argue. The flu, it's a hoax. It doesn't protect you.
Yeah. And I mean, what is a fever? What is that? That's actually your body trying to fight disease. So maybe you get the flu to clean out your system. Dr. Tenpenny had a theory on why people get the flu. And it's just, maybe it's the way the body's.
My mother almost died when she got the flu shot 15 years ago.
Yeah.
My uncle almost died when he got the flu shot.
It's quite.
He didn't used to agree with me. He got it and got sicker than a dog. You know what's convincing everybody we're telling the truth? Not the research or the science. We have that. They get sick taking it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it
takes. Or your 18-month-old's running around daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. You take that third round of shots. Junior, don't ever talk again. That'll wake you up. We don't want you to get woke up that way. Wake up by reading the documents. For God's sakes, warn everybody you know. God bless you. Hey, great job doing your report.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back with your calls. I'll get the number up.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Careful what you wish. You just might get it. But a call comes crashing down. On King Nothing. On the world government.
Well, I've got to say, I'm really ashamed of Western media in the U.S. and in Europe. Media censoring Muhammad cartoons amid Paris shooting. Kit Daniels, Infowars.com. Radical leftist lesbian says right-wing extremists have killed more Americans than jihadists. I was just waiting for the Democrats to come out and say the problem is right-wingers. Homeland Security under Obama says they're not even worried about jihad. In fact, they came out today, the White House, and said this may not even be terror. Regardless of what really happened over in Paris, the fact that the White House would come out within hours by 9 in the morning and say, we're not sure this is terror, and then have the radical feminist, who are just women that want to tell women what to do, that's who they are. I mean, you know, they like to, I mean, you ought to see how the women just eat out of these ladies' hands, because they're the boss. They wear the pants. It's not okay for a man to wear the pants, but if a lady wears them. Well, that's why God had girls born in pants, because they're the boss. We the bosses, to quote Hop, one of my favorite children's movies. Radical leftist lesbian right-wing extremists have killed more Americans than jihadists. I'm going to get to all that in a moment. And the full video report you heard me start ranting about, we didn't air the whole thing. It's on Infowars.com. Please send it to everyone you know that's about to have children or has small children. If you're on an elevator at the grocery store and a lady's pregnant, warn them about vaccines. It's our job. Beg them. We've got to do it. But I want to hear from police, either off-duty, former police, current, military. What's your first take away? Do you have any questions? Do you buy the official story of this attack on that newspaper and the killing of the editor and the cartoonist during their weekly editorial meeting? Here's the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. Or if you're in Paris or France, want to give us your take on it, 800-259-9231. I'm going to go right to your calls as soon as they come in. 800-259-9231. And they're going to bring into me here in a few minutes, too. I've got some of the comments from folks that have come in on Twitter. Lewis is going to give me those, and I'm going to go over some of the comments of what people think at Real Alex Jones and what they're saying they think is going on. They've been tweeting at Real Alex Jones with hashtag the name of the newspaper. Charlie Hebdo. I still have trouble pronouncing that. Now, let's move into some of the other news that I have here in my stack. Hawaii breaks records. Winter weather breaks records again in Hawaii with cold weather. They've also, a few weeks ago, had snow on their mountaintops. Star Tribune reports that severe cold closes Duluth Ski Resort, wicked wind chills in the metro. But they're saying that that's global warming that is causing that. Kit Daniels wrote a story for Infowars.com. Global warming fee added to California gas prices. Remember George Soros and everybody came out, Larry Summers in the White House came out and said, now it's time for carbon taxes because gas prices are down. You may accept it. Well, California just went ahead and did it. Global warming fee added to California gas prices before sales tax. Drivers now paying a tax on top of global warming tax. California drivers are now paying a global warming fee added to the price of gasoline before sales tax, forced them to pay a tax on top of a tax. The state is charging gas retailers a new global warming cap and trade fee and paying it right to Al Gore and Clinton and other kingpins. It's got to be nice, doesn't it? And retailers are passing the cost on to consumers. But the consumer sales tax is calculated from the full pump price, which includes the cap and trade fee. You know, they're not smart here. They like to rub it in our face. Australia passed a carbon tax 4 years ago, but they passed a law that you couldn't tell people about it and couldn't add it onto the bill. Still, people backlash, and it's been partly repealed. Continuing here with news, House Republican files first plan to defund Obama immigration action. That's lawmaker in Alabama, Martha Robbie. So that's definitely a good move there. 10 earthquakes rock North Texas in 25 hours. Well, the answer is ban earthquakes, have the TSA arrive. A lady jumped off an escalator 20 feet, killing herself. The answer is ban escalators. Texas seismologists investigate quakes near old Cowboys Stadium. Well, yeah, I mean, if people kill people with guns, you got to ban guns, so ban escalators. Here it is. Connecticut woman jumps to her death off mall escalator. Was 80 feet. I was going from memory. Connecticut police say they were investigating the death of a 25-year-old woman who jumped 80 feet off a moving escalator to her death at the Stanford Center Town Mall. Got to put up suicide nets like China. Those darn escalators. It's their fault. Those darn guns. All right, I'm going to your phone calls right now. Police, military, I want your take. If you've seen the footage of the shooters killing the cop, shooting the people, screaming Allah Akbar, they look pretty professional. They're doing military hand signs of come to me and rally point. This is where we're meeting. We're going. Let's go ahead and go to Wayne in Texas, former military, on the shooting topic. What do you think watching those videos?
Alex, it looks real to me. I mean, these guys are dressed in almost like a police SWAT outfit, and I think it's another precondition for us. Everything they roll out on us, they roll out over there first in Europe and in those Middle Eastern countries. So, you know, here we are once again with all the money that we spend on defense, open borders, no border patrol. You know, we've got all these issues that are being financed and they're not working. The war on drugs, not working, but we're financing it. And, you know, all these other schemes that they've dreamed up on us, this once again is just a preconditioning that it's real. But, you know, I'll see AIDA is all over it, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I couldn't say it any better, and there was a famous quote, I forget who said it, that when you make wars unprofitable, you will make wars impossible. And you've got criminal interests worldwide playing countries and groups off against each other who make money and get power and who can take liberties out of global destabilization and crisis. It looks real to me. I don't think it's actors. I don't think it's a staged event. The question is then, who would really do this? Why would Al-Qaeda, who normally acts like a bunch of idiots when you see videos of them, be able to carry out 9/11 or speak perfect French and carry this operation out so well? This doesn't look like the normal boobies that we see in their own videos. What do you say?
No, no, not at all. And a matter of fact, I mean, we're admitted as training them. I mean, the American forces have trained these guys. The CIA has trained these guys. So why wouldn't they look like us? Or are they us? You know, is the CIA standing in front of you? Or is it an Al-Qaeda that has been trained by those guys? Yeah, you know, you got to get down to these questions and say, you know, who's really behind it?
Well, Tony Schaefer, our frequent guest, who's also trained by the CIA and, of course, worked running major operations in Afghanistan, says that, quote, they were very professional, very organized. It was well-timed. You can't pull off something like this without military training. He said whoever they were highly trained in military tactics. So you got these two different Al-Qaedas. It doesn't make sense. Something is suspicious. Thank you, Wayne. Paul in Boston's former military. Then we'll talk to M in Washington, who's a police officer, and then Tom in Michigan. Paul, what do you think's going on here?
Alex, hi, first-time caller. What you know what, Alex? I've been watching this video over and over again from that, I guess it's a shooting standpoint right out in front of the actual event of the assassination of that police officer. It's just a little unusual because you can see, like, if you watch it, you can see the fire of the gun, like, pin off the ground, and you can see, like, a spark off, like, say, cement. But, I mean, that could be calibrated to just, what's the word I'm thinking of? Of some, like, a dud. But
well, I've done a lot of shooting videos, and I've slowed down the footage. And when you shoot at an angle like that, that's exactly what firearms do. You can kill somebody at about an inch away or 2 inches away with a rifle, point blank, with a handgun that's shooting blanks. Just the gas. And by the way, that's an untraceable way to kill somebody. I'm not telling anybody any secrets. I'm not telling killers any secrets. You can put like a 357 Magnum in somebody's head with a blank, and it will fire gas into the person's brain, scrambling their brain. It'll shoot a hole through the skull. If you put it snug up against them, and there's no ballistics because there is no bullet. But that's another day. Go ahead.
Right, where I see that he's wounded on the ground. Like, I'm saying from video, I mean, it seemed pretty clear that you didn't see, I'm not trying to be rude, not trying to be anything, like no blood splurts or anything like that, even before, like wherever this police officer was wounded. And I know you're saying that it looks real and stuff like that, and, you know, everyone has their opinion. It just looks a little, especially at that close range, you don't really see anything at the last resort of this terrorist.
Well, I mean, I've shot a lot of wild hogs in the head and deer that I've wounded when you come up 20 minutes later and they're still alive. And I've shot them in the head, and then a lot of times there's not a lot of blood. It depends on how the bullet goes in. But when he shoots him in the head and he's there on the ground, 5 seconds later, you really don't see a bunch of blood, but that's pretty routine. I don't know. I mean, when you get to the point where you just don't believe anything's real, just because you don't trust the system, I don't know what to say. Let's talk to M in Washington, says he's a police officer, to give us his take on what we're seeing unfold in Paris, where the newspaper, the satirical newspaper like The Onion, it's not even as hardcore as The Onion, as irreverent as The Onion, got attacked, 12 dead, including two police officers. Who do you think has a motive in this? Do you see anything? What do you think watching the footage? What's your gut?
Yeah, good afternoon.
Well, welcome, Em. What's your view on this?
Well, it's obvious that the police officer was executed. I don't know if the coppers or the regular patrol officers carry weapons in Paris on duty. I couldn't tell from the footage.
They do. Most of them carry guns.
Okay. Well, it's very obvious. I don't know why he didn't return fire. Maybe his arms were injured, but it's sad. I've been there. I lost a partner several years ago that was murdered by an illegal alien. So I've been there, and I feel for his family and his coworkers. It's terrible, but I think you're right, Mr. Jones, that you said several times in the past. I think we're going to see more of this around the world. And I know in my area we're training up to combat this problem. I mean, you don't know. If you've never been involved in the shooting, you don't know how you're going to react until you're there. But we are definitely trained to fight through it, get rid of the threat. And I know that we're all on alert. We've got heads on our swivel from a big town to a small town. Because
I can tell the police in Austin are on alert. They're really jumping now when I see them.
Well, this is the thing, though. In the area I work in, we work well with our the citizens. I mean, we're servants, and I'm grateful that most people in our area respect us and we respect them, and we don't have the issues that are going on in these bigger cities. So I'm thankful and blessed in that area, but I do think that there is going to be a war on police. I think there's going to be a war on just average citizens. I think that the globalists have an agenda, and let me tell you, fear breeds new rules, and people are willing to give up anything for freedom or for security, and that's what's scary, because you get neither.
Well, as best we can tell, a cop car pulled up and they shot him in the car, and then the cop basically fell out of the car, as best we can tell, and these shooters had amazing precision. At up to 150 yards they were shooting into moving vehicles front windshields and taking out the drivers. So just like Colonel Schaefer said, these people were highly trained, not your run-of-the-mill Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the officer, though, that was on the sidewalk when the guys got out of the car.
No, I understand. Yes, you're talking about that one that got shot in the head. Well, it's just horrible footage to watch. And then we're hearing how we have to give up free speech and give in to the threat. And we're hearing how we've got to give up our rights. No, we shouldn't give up any rights in the face of this. We should proliferate the right to use arms, whether it be by police or anybody else, so that an armed society can repel these type of bullies.
I agree, but let me just leave it on this note so that people can talk. Police officers, citizens, whatever, listen, we can't give up our freedom. That is the goal that these elitists around the world want, and they're going to bring it by fear. And let me tell you, if you're going to be cowardly, and it's like these knuckleheads that keep saying, yeah, kill the police and all that, I guarantee you, if somebody's kicking down their door at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're going to be cowering in their corner, urinating themselves, trying to call 911. And you know what? We're going to show up regardless of how they feel about us, because that's our job. So the people that are protesting police, I don't really listen to them. I mean, a lot of them are just, I think, like you said, they're silver spoon babies. You know, they have nothing better to do than complain, and they don't like to be told what to do. And we have a segment of society that is that way. They do not like to be held accountable, and they don't like to be told when they make mistakes.
Well, sure, the type of guys that are the street thugs shooting cops will beat up an old man because it's an easy target, or knock out some old lady. And, you know, next they'll be preying on, their own mom. But, yeah, a lot of the people online shooting their mouths off, they're like video game heads. I'm not saying all video game heads are bad. I'm just saying they tend to be video game heads, as we've gone back and looked at their handles and who they are. And they're in a fantasy land, so they think it's manly to talk about killing people, when I guarantee you if they blew somebody's brains out, they'd start throwing up. Or they wouldn't even have the nerve to pull the trigger, you know, in the real world. Or once they did, they'd realize it wasn't a video game, and they would start crying for mommy. And that's why so many people say, let's just get a civil war going. Well, that's obviously what the globalists want. That's why we've got to stop it. God bless you. Be safe out there. We appreciate your call, M. Tom in Michigan, former military, wants to comment on the Paris shooting. Mark is a former police and military, wants to talk about the shooting. Steve Pachinik's going to pop in for 15 minutes to give his take. And then we're going to go right to Mark and Tom. And then a few other news articles that I haven't hit yet. But I cannot believe U.S. and European newspapers are censoring these cartoons now. That's why we've been sending them out on my Twitter. Please retweet them. Real Alex Jones.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Certainly was the darkest hour. The last 4 years as Al-Qaeda forces killed non-radical Islams, Christians, Jews, you name it, in Syria to destabilize the region, then blew back into Iraq. Complex oil war going on between Russia, Saudi Arabia, the United States, and others. I see it as a war not just against Russia, but also against independent producers here in the U.S. But there's a lot of different things happening. I'm going to plug this just briefly. There's a limited amount of these books. It's an e-book. We have a limited amount available at InfoWarsStore.com. Steve Pachinik talks, and it is a thick book on every subject you can imagine. This is my hand-signed one that he sent me. We have a limited amount of these at InfoWarsStore.com. They will sell out in a matter of minutes now that I'm plugging them. Guaranteed, it'll be sold out in 15 minutes of the amount we have. You can go to StevePachinik.com and buy up the rest of them because it's an e-book. He only did a limited run of this handsome, thick, soft cover. Steve Pachinik speaks, or Steve Pachinik talks. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. But that's not why he joins us, just for about 10, 15 minutes. Then I'm going to go to Mark, Tom, Mike, and others. I wanted to just out of the gates. He has a lot of sources and intelligence agencies all over the world. Co-wrote some books with Tom Clancy, former head of psychological operations for the State Department, ran the Camp David Accords, helped found the Delta Force. You know who he is. Came out and told us about the bin Laden situation 12 years before it turned out to be accurate. Exposed 9/11 as a stand down, bare minimum. He joins us, former member of the Council on Foreign Relations before he resigned. He joins us. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know his view. I didn't know Wayne Madsen's view earlier. From the Twitter comments at Real Alex Jones, I'm hearing people think it's Israel. That's about a third of the Twitter comments, or they think it's fake and TV fakery. Sandy Hook was fake. We had blue screens and the kids going in circles in and out of the building, and it wasn't even really a real school. That we can prove is fake. Some stuff is fake, but this looks real to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Steve Pachinik, Dr. Steve Pachinik, can correct me. Doc, I don't know your view on this, but give us your first approximation, or maybe you've talked to your sources and know what happened. What are you hearing about what went on in Paris?
Alex, always a pleasure to come on your show. But let me tell you, I grew up in France, in Toulouse, and I'm looking at one of the cartoons which literally implies exactly what is going to happen. We are always on alert, and we want to wish you a happy new year. Until the end of January, we have not been attacked so far. So from my point of view, this is a highly provocative newspaper cartoon. It's not about freedom of speech. It is about provocation. It is about instigation. In the world of intelligence, this type of agitation, propaganda, and cartoon would require an attack by Al-Qaeda. Whether it was a Yemeni or not, that's not as relevant as the fact that I think this is a major distraction, this attack, from the real problem that Hollande has in France, which is a major bankruptcy of the economy, the fact that Hollande has been a total disaster, the fact that socialism is a disaster, the unemployment is up into the 20s, the fact that euro is falling repeatedly, oil is going down. So this, to me, is nothing more than an opportune occasion for distraction, intentionally or unintentionally. It's not relevant. But the French have a very good intelligence system. It's called the Deuxième Bureau. They know exactly what to do. They know how to go in after people. And they have anywhere from about 6 to about 15 million legal and illegal first, second, and third generation Moroccans, Algerians, and Maghreb Muslims. They know the problems are there, but the real issue at hand is not the freedom of speech. This is absolute nonsense. What this was, these cartoons, as I'm looking at them, are nothing more than incredible agitation propaganda on the part of the French, which reflects no ability to express freedom of
speech. So what is the point of the agitprop? We know
the agitprop was that to distract from a much major, much more severe problem. Europe is falling apart. France and Germany cannot get along. Germany has warned repeatedly under Merkel that France must remain under a sphere program. France cannot do it. France is bankrupt in effect. Their sovereign funds are almost empty. They cannot maintain.
So are you saying Hollande or the French intelligence may have staged this?
Well, I don't know if they staged it, but they certainly allowed it to happen, because here's a cartoon that says so far, hey, we're okay until the end of January. And lo and behold, they got attacked just at the point. And
by the way, I haven't seen all those, and I don't speak French like you do.
No, you don't speak French, but if you look at the various cartoons, you can see this is far more than freedom.
Well, that's breaking news. I mean, can you tell me what issue that is so we can find it?
Well, it's the latest issue. It's literally the one that says, toujours attendons en France. That means attendez. That means wait, watch. We are okay till the end of January. We haven't been attacked so far. And literally, if that's not an invitation for an attack, either intentional or unintentional, I would be surprised.
Well, I mean, it did come out when this first broke 3 years ago that this facility is connected to the CIA and British intelligence. But, I mean, a lot of stuff's connected to intelligence.
Well, if this was intelligence, I would say this is very poor intelligence. Because when you do agitation propaganda, you don't really have to go out of your way and show a Muhammad, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, as a gay. You don't have to say that the Quran is shit. These are things that are totally beyond the realm of even effective intelligence. It shows a very low level of our effectiveness, be it French, British, or American, just the way we did in 9/11. This is, shows you such immaturity in terms of intelligence and in freedom of speech that, you know, this was just waiting to happen, whether it was intentional or not.
Sure. Let me shift gears and throw a curveball at you. Huge news breaking with Clinton and others connected to this big financier, convicted of pedophilia, with dungeons in the Caribbean and all this. I mean, clearly some of that stuff's going on. The royal family connected to it. But the question is, why is it all coming out now? It just reeks of an internal power structure blackmail war. And notice this has gotten that out of the papers. Do you have any intel on that?
Well, what I would say, and I wrote it this way, that Alan Dershowitz, who's been the puppet boy for the Israeli lobby repeatedly, has been attacked. And this is, let's say, the way the system retaliates to say, okay, enough is enough. Israel is out of control. You, Al Dershowitz, you're out of control. You've been denigrated. Your legitimacy is in question. At the same time, it's a clear message to Hillary Clinton and the Clinton family in general to stand down. Under no condition should she proceed to run in the elections, because this is only the beginning of what's going to come out in the future. And it's going to be much worse, because Bill Clinton will be the one person who will literally deny Hillary Clinton the presidency of the United States. He did it in 2008. He will do it again in 2016. His narcissism is so malignant that he cannot help but destroy Hillary Clinton in the process. And that's what he's doing.
And well, it's a bad sign that they've been defending this pedophile, and so have the royals circling the wagons.
Well, you know, the royal family isn't royal. It's a German family. They're not very bright. They're quite stupid. The real royal family is really the Queen Mother, who was Scottish, and Diane Spencer. That's royal. The Windsors are nothing more than the name of the building in which they live in. Most of them are German, and they are total idiots. They have nothing to do, but if Britain wants to pay for idiots to be there...
Well, you know, that's actually true. You know, most of Queen Elizabeth's brothers and sisters are mentally ill because of the inbreeding and have to be locked up.
Well, they're stupid. I mean, whatever the reason is, if you want to pay a fortune and England can't afford it, they're going to be leaving the euro, and the pound is not all that great. England has not been moving, and they have a very serious unemployment problem. You want to pay that kind of money for idiots? That's your prerogative. I don't believe in it. The United States didn't believe in it. We fought three wars against Britain, one in 1776, the second one in 1812, and the third one in the Civil War. So we don't need to talk about Britain. France is a problem. France has to get its act together, but I think it will be totally bankrupt. Germany.
Well, you made an astute statement there. It is on record, but most people don't know it, deep in the histories, that British intelligence did stir up the South and kicked off the whole Civil War and then denied the South the armaments they promised them once it started. But that didn't end up working.
No, British intelligence was the one that literally wanted us to be broken apart. It did not want a republic, because a republic would have been a very severe threat to its financial interests, mercantile. And then subsequently, Queen Victoria was the greatest drug pusher in the world.
Sure, I mean, opium.
You know, they talk about it as the great with Adam. No, she was the greatest drug pusher in the world, with opium and cocaine coming right out of China. So the nonsense of Britain is really the nonsense of Britain. More importantly, we have to understand where America stands in this, and the fact that we are not threatened by these acts. If we do stupid things like the CIA torture or the stand down or our military goes out of its way to facilitate stupid acts, then we will pay, you know, the price that we need to pay, and we will internally punish our own people. But as far as France is concerned, they have a very good intelligence system, and they have a very strong national police force. But for me to believe that this was accidental or unintentional, it's very hard, given the fact that I'm reading these cartoons in French, and they're way out of proportion. This is beyond disrespect of any religion. If you put Christianity in the same position, you would be ashamed and appalled.
Are you saying it's beyond the public financing of Piss Christ?
I'm sorry?
Remember the famous crucifix in urine?
Yes, I know the man. I know the man who did it. He was a friend of Blumberg. It was the Brooklyn Museum. It was ridiculous. It did nothing more than to get his name in the paper, and nobody remembered it.
No, so, I know, but I mean, here's what I'm saying. It is true that there's a lot of anti-Islam stuff meant to be provocative, and it gets ignored.
Anti-Christianity, too.
Sure, sure. But, I mean, this did get a lot of attention at the time, and it appeared they were hyping this up. If this was a long-term operation, what is the point? I mean, you've seen the video, obviously, of the shooters. They look very professional. Colonel Schaefer says they look like above Al-Qaeda. Who do you think they are? I mean, any ideas?
I think they're very well-trained Yemeni, whether they're supported by the French, who have very strong presence in the Maghreb and in Yemen, near Saudi Arabia. The French have had the Foreign Legion, which is in Côte d'Ivoire, and in Galvi, in Corsica. You know, the French have allowed this to happen. It's as simple as that. This is not anything that's, you know, a higher order of intelligence. It occurred in Toulouse when you had a soul bomber who shot several Orthodox Jews. That was real. And now, Hollande, and classically, you have a country that is in such severe, I can't tell you how bad shape France is in, that it's beyond redemption. If they don't get rid of Hollande, they don't get rid of the socialist system, they don't get rid of the...
Well, yeah, they have 100% tax... 101% tax on the basically nouveau riche now. Why? And then the socialists have been caught with secret Swiss bank accounts, and they don't pay the taxes, just like, the rat from New York. Al Sharpton wants to raise my taxes, but he owes $5.5 million.
That's correct. But why would you want to stay in France unless you're on welfare? Most of the people there are looking for retirement. Even the young kids in their 50s right now, when they go into 20... when they come into the workforce to the age of 20 to 50, they're looking at about retirement. There is no money in France. The euro is not worth anything. You're talking about the collapse of the euro. This is way beyond anything.
You've been saying that for years, but now
it's
every demographic shows it. When is it coming then, and what will it cost?
Well, it's coming now. The euro has been falling from 1.34 to 1.19. It'll go down way below 1 because the price of oil, they're not able to grow. There is absolutely no growth capacity within France. The unemployment has always been a secret. If you want to talk about freedom of speech, the fact is the French government has been one of the biggest liars and miscreant behavior in the world, including Sarkozy and the socialists. They've been putting around factories all over France, shutting them down, and then declaring they were bankrupt or they're not bankrupt, and they're shifting around everybody, but they're not producing anything. Other than wine and cheese and nuclear power, they really can't produce very much. Airbus is about the only plane that will be sold at this price at a much lower value of the euro.
No, I know. They are falling apart.
No,
and then Germany's gone off a demographic cliff. They're dying. I tell you, it's...
Spain, Italy. Right now, Italy has 45% unemployment. Spain has 25% unemployment. Portugal, 25% unemployment. Sweden is anti-Islam. Holland, anti-Islam. Britain, anti-Islam. France has just begun to see the beginnings of what anti-Islam is. Every day you can go to Paris or Toulouse or Bordeaux or any city and you will see protests either against working, against the system, or pro-Islam, anti-Islam. The country's dysfunctional.
Just a bunch of idiots fighting with each other. Yeah, I've talked to family that's been over to France lately and who've been there many times, and they say there'll be a leak in the hotel pouring water and no one wants to fix it. Everyone's on vacation. The police aren't working. I mean, it's just a joke.
It is a joke, but unfortunately it's a sad joke that can spill over into the United States. Our job is to make sure that our consular officials do not give visas at the appropriate time. And those who want to leave France can leave France to other parts of the world. But I've told my family repeatedly they should leave over 30 years, and they don't listen. So that's up to them.
Wow.
My point of view is this has been going on for well over 20 to 30 years. But when you look at the cartoon, Alex, let me tell you, in French, this is really disgusting. It's disgusting because it's not humorous. It's not in any way satirical. It is nothing more than an insult to Jews, to Muslims, to everyone.
It's nothing but a slap in the face. But
it's beyond a slap in the face. You don't have to call, you know, Muhammad. You don't have to show him as gay. You don't have to say the Quran is shit. This is totally inappropriate. If we were to do this with the Catholic Church that was once dominant in France, believe me, they would come back after you with revenge that you've never seen. And the French were no sweethearts during the war. Remember, they took out 74,000 Jews without the Germans asking them to do anything. So the French have a very strong history of collaboration, of surrender, ineffectualness, and war. They've never won a war since Napoleon, and Napoleon wasn't French. He was Corsican. So this nonsense that we see now is nothing more than a distraction, which is a far greater problem than France.
All right. Well, Dr. Pechenik, thank you so much for the time. Again,
you,
your e-book is available for download at stevepechenik.com. A limited number have been printed, and they'll be sold, I predict, in the next few minutes. Dr. Pechenik, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks to everybody else.
You bet. Bye. Always interesting. That guy really knows his history. Interesting guest to pop in. We appreciate him coming on. Tom and Mark and a few others are our final callers. We're going to come back in the next segment and talk to Tom in Michigan, former military, wants to give his take on the shootings in Paris. Mark also is a former police and military, wants to give his take. We'll go to both of you when we come back after this three-minute break. Briefly, more importantly than buying the books, the videos, the Molon Labe t-shirts, all that's how we fund the operation. These reporters, these cameras, the bandwidth bills, all of it. We do it because you support us. You are the reason InfoWars is here. That's why I don't like you thanking me. I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for spreading the word and telling friends and family about InfoWars.com, about PrisonPlanet.com, sending the link to the free video feeds for the show at InfoWars.com/show, telling friends and family about the local AM and FM affiliates, the station you're listening to us on right now, supporting those stations. All of that is what makes it possible, and your prayers are even more important. So thank you all, listeners, affiliates, sponsors, and the good Lord above for sending us his son, Jesus Christ, and just all the blessings, and for saving a poor sinner like me. It's just amazing to be here. We're all honored here at the office for the great responsibility that you place on us. We love you. We'll be back. Final segment of the main broadcast. I may do some internet-only overdrive into the fourth hour. I want to go to Tom and Mark and others. But an article that was on InfoWars.com yesterday on the front page is still there. Scroll down to the bottom. Middle East officials question, quote, convenient mistakes of U.S. airdrops to Al-Qaeda. So our military refuses to fight for Al-Qaeda, so now they get ordered to airdrop supposedly to the Kurds and others, but it's always to Al-Qaeda. Missiles, hand grenades, huge crates of machine guns. United States military portrays the recent weapons and supplies by ISIS as entirely accidental. And then the article by Brandon Tuberville from Activist Post goes through a bunch of links to mainstream news admitting it. In mainstream news, Arab officials that aren't for Al-Qaeda see how obvious it is. So see, you see open collusion right there. It's just everywhere. And it doesn't mean our whole government. Our own military has been saying no and blowing the whistle. I've had the folks that fly the aircraft on the show. And then they get subpoenaed by the Justice Department. So don't say people would speak out if this was happening. They are speaking out. Let's go to Mark and then Tom. Mark in Texas, former police. What's your view on this? What's your gut level response or any other things you've seen?
Well, it's my good level response. This is definitely the Islamic State or ISIS, whatever you want to call them, very precise and all that. But actually, you actually stole my thunder just now, because I was going to say that what's happening is this government okay, our illustrious government is supplying, supporting, arming, and even training ISIS in the name of some kind of, what do they call themselves? The Syria, the Free Syrian Army, which
yes.
is, of course, BS. Okay? And what's happening is, it's kind of like, let's say you have a neighbor who's an exterminator, and he puts a bunch of hornets, a nest of hornets in your house, okay? Wow, you know, he can't control those hornets, but the hornets are going to do what they normally do, and they're going to start stinging people and all that, okay? So now you're going to run over to your neighbor, and you're going to get that exterminator, and you're going to say, oh, could you please come and get rid of the hornets for me? This is basically what they're doing. They're letting these people loose. They're overthrowing non-Islamic nations, you know, like secular Arab nations. And then they're coming into this country and into France and England, and they say, oh, you know what? We got to set up the TSA. We got to fill you up. We got to get you go through radiation, all sort of stuff. We're going to have a police state. We're going to arm the police like no longer peace officers, but more like a military force. Okay? All that for your safety, because we got to protect you from the big, bad ISIS. In the meantime, they try to take away our guns. One thing that keeps America safe, really, is an armed citizenry. And unfortunately, a lot of police unions, including the one I used to belong to, believe in disarming the American people and just having them armed, themselves armed. So that's what it basically comes down to. Like I said, it's basically like you definitely, just looking at them, look at the precise, I know that ISIS is pretty well trained and probably unfortunately from our own special forces. And this is what you have. And I'm sorry to say it like that, but unfortunately, why they do it, I think they just want control. They want to take away our freedoms in this country.
That's it. We have a criminal class that infests major Western governments that is working with one hand, radical Islam as a pretext to take our freedoms. It's very, very simple. And then they'll have our troops go out and actually fight the jihadis they've helped create. It's not saying they're not real. It's not saying there's not a real war. It's just that it's on record now that it's being stirred up and given oxygen by the establishment. I'm going to go to break and come back to Tom in Michigan, hit a few final points, but that's it for the main transmission. Some stations do carry the fourth hour. Nightly news is tonight, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Fix bayonets. We are now entering overdrive.
That's right.
With your host, Alex Jones, broadcasting live from the front lines. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You know, Chris Kyle's fate was sealed when his story started unraveling, and they had to get rid of him because Clint Eastwood was already signing up to make a movie about it. And now they are hyping the daylights of this film that's about to come out. It's so sad. People want to believe in this John Wayne image. And a lot of it just doesn't add up. So they killed him. So just remember that. Just like Pat Tillman started going sideways on him. Remember the Private Lynch didn't go, her team started to die? Pretty creepy. Tom in Michigan, former Army, wants to give us his take on the Paris shooting. What's it look like to you?
Well, I haven't seen it, Alex, but InfoWars rocks, and I wish you guys the best of luck, and I really like you. I was an airborne medic in the United States Army, and I worked with small units. I was specifically research and teaching, and you can figure it out from there.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, the video's all over the news, so you've missed it. What do you think of the calls to restrict free speech or radical jihadis will come shoot us? I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give in to that.
Well, the key thing here is to focus on the evidence. If you only have one focal point to examine what happened at the scene, then you're extremely limited. What you need to find is a Army NCO that has training in Warsaw Pact tactics, and then compare it from there. Key thing is,
are you saying that's what Al-Qaeda basically got, was Warsaw Pact tactics? I mean, I know some of the Arab countries got Soviet training, but a lot of them got Western training.
Well, the Soviets and Americans both use Warsaw Pact tactics, and the Soviets also use NATO tactics. So you're going to have to find a former NCO, not a commissioned officer.
I understand. To look at the tactics, well, I'm no tactics expert, but I've followed them, and their tactics look like NATO tactics to me. But there's not enough footage to be able to be completely clear.
Did they form one perimeter after they left their vehicle? Or two perimeters? There was two vehicles, correct?
I'm trying to collate it all, but it looks like there were two vehicles.
Yeah, and the other thing is they had an evacuation plan. They carried it out successfully, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's not a Muslim tactic.
So, I was about to say, that's what my cousin ran in here and said at the start of the show, is that usually they would just try to stay there and fight to the death.
Hello. So, I mean, look, what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to tell you how to figure it out over the phone. But find a former NCO in the U.S. Army that was at least 5 years in Warsaw Tactics, fully understand it, and they can find the little idiosyncrasies that will show where this came from. It's not that difficult if you know what you're looking for.
I get
for.
It. You can, because each group trains a little bit different, you can pick up on the body language.
Oh, definitely. My heart goes out to the families of those that were assassinated. And I wish you guys the best of luck.
You too, brother. You're awesome. God bless you. Have a great new year. We're showing that footage again of the cop getting killed, even though it's blurred out. It's disgusting to see anybody being gunned down like an animal. Bill, real quick, we got about a minute and a half left. Thanks for calling from Texas, former military. Pretty interesting point that he just made. I'm glad he brought that up. That's not the Al-Qaeda jihadi tactics to act like this, to behave like this, and then get away. And the woman said they were speaking perfect French. That's pretty suspicious if they're from Yemen.
Hey, Alex, listen, you can tell where all the training came from for these guys. Don't you recall that the 24th MU out of Lejeune in, I believe, 2011 through 2013 was in Jordan? They admitted on their own page, you can pull it up while we're talking about this, that they were training people in Jordan. You wonder where the NATO training came from. It came from the United States Marine Corps in Jordan for 2 years from the 24th MU.
I forgot about that. The Marines were in Jordan training the Free Syrian Army. We'll have that on the nightly news. Thank you for reminding me. Great way to end it, Bill. Anything else?
No, that's it. God bless you.
Yeah, that's where the NATO training, that could be it. It's pretty suspicious. Okay, we're out of time. We'll see you back tonight, 7 o'clock, Lord willing.